Glory to Jesus Christ. Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, Homer Glen, Illinois, presents Light of the East, a program revealing how Eastern Catholic churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Church and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, spirituality, and liturgy. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. My mission is simple: to take seriously Pope John Paul II's declaration that it is the first need for Roman Catholics to become illuminated by the light of the East, to become familiar with the histories and liturgies of the Eastern churches so as to bring about a great restoration of unity with all Christians, East and West. As our Holy Father described it, when the Church breathes with two lungs, we may all be granted a full taste of the divinely revealed and undivided heritage of the universal Church. This is the story of the Eastern churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look towards the light of the East.
Well, we're getting a phone call here at Light of the East. Let's see who it is. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Jesus Christ, Father Tom.
Ah, our old friend Katie, formerly Katie the Byzantine, now Katie the hardworking college student, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely hardworking this year.
Good to hear you once again here in Light of the East. A lot of people miss you. You haven't been on for a while.
I know. I think I've been really consumed with schoolwork this year, definitely. It's been a challenge and a struggle.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's a lot of aspects. My schedule is really full this year with just a lot of classes that I kind of have to take. They have a lot of homework with them. And then I'm also a resident advisor this year at my dorm, which is the Catholic dorm on campus, the Catholic Newman Center. And that's actually, I think, the best part of my year so far, because I come in contact with a lot of really nice girls and a lot of really nice guys. And, you know, it's just great to be in a place that's so faith-centered. But my schoolwork is definitely the hardest part for me. I mean, there's nights when I have over 100 pages of reading to do, and then on top of that, I'm in a journalism class, which is a lot of fun because it's actually a broadcast journalism class, but it's a lot of work because we have to come in every week with a new story ready to go on the air. So it's a lot of work, but, I mean, it's fun at the same time.
And, of course, you're using some of your Light of the East experience for that too, right?
Really, I mean, seriously, you know, I come in and I already know how to act around a microphone and how to do a few other things, and I even know how to edit some things and, you know, just pacing and things like that. And a lot of other students came in kind of cold, like, how do I act in front of a microphone? You know, how close can I be to it and things like that. So it's definitely really helped me in my experience. So
what's it like being an Eastern Catholic on the campus down there?
It's definitely different. And it was actually really interesting. Last year I took an Intro to Catholicism course, and I was the only Eastern Catholic in my class and the only Eastern Catholic that my professor, I think, had ever had. And I think we mentioned him a couple of times on the air last year and my experience in that class, which was great. But this year, he was talking to his class about Byzantine Catholics, and he mentioned my name, and he was like, oh, yeah, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to go talk to her. And the one really nice thing about this year that I haven't gotten any other year is, because I'm an RA, we're a lot closer with the pastoral staff that's at our residence hall, mm-hmm. because we have the chapel that's connected to our residence hall that serves, you know, 10,000 Catholic students at the University of Illinois. And so I've become really close with a couple of the priests here. And in fact, it was just before the beginning of the school year when we were down here for training, and it was the Feast of the Assumption. And of course, in the Eastern churches, we have the really beautiful tradition of blessing flowers. And so I went out to a florist and I got a bouquet of flowers, and I went to the priest and I asked him if he would bless them for me, and he kind of chuckled, and he did it, because a few weeks before that, we had the Feast of the Transfiguration, where we blessed, you know, fruits and vegetables, and we were on a retreat with the RAs, and we were eating breakfast, and we had grapes, and I asked him to bless my grapes, which he kind of found funny, too, but he also thought it was really nice, and I think it's also really important that I'm able to take those traditions that we have in our church and kind of bring them into my college life and things like that and share them with other people. So yeah. That was really great for me. And this year actually is really great for me because we actually have another Byzantine Catholic student living at my dorm.
Oh.
And I think he is Syro-Malabar, which is interesting. So one night we were talking about Eastern churches. So it was really nice for me to be able to relate with another student about being Eastern Catholic.
Well, speaking of the Eastern liturgical calendar, this week's pretty important week for us. First of all, we've got three heavy hitters in a row. We've got the Feast of St. Josephat. We've got the Feast of St. John Chrysostom and also the Feast of St. Philip the Apostle. Now, the last one is especially significant because we enter into, in the Byzantine calendar, what is our form of Advent, or we call it the Philip's Fast, which is a fasting period. Well, Katie, why don't you tell the audience what this is, the Philip's Fast? And I'm sure you're preparing for it, right?
Oh, I am, definitely. It's basically a fasting period that lasts, you know, as Father Tom said, from the Feast of St. Philip to, I think it's Christmas Eve, right, Father Tom?
Or yes.
Like the day before
uh-huh.
Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And it's treated pretty much the same way that we treat Lent, right? You know, no meat or dairy products on... That's like the real fast, right?
Yeah, the strictest form would be to give up meat and dairy products for the whole time of Advent, or you can go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of no meat or dairy products.
That's what I generally kind of do, I think.
Yeah, that's generally probably the more standard form, observance of it. And it's a preparatory period, and in the Eastern churches, of course, as we've said many times here in Light of the East, we prepare for a great feast by cleaning house. I like to call it that, cleaning house, as it were, spiritually. And one of the best ways to clean house spiritually is to fast, you know, to say no to ourselves, no to our passions and our wants and desires, instead of clean out our lives physically, but also that makes room then for adding on something, and that adding on would be more prayer, more time with our Lord in prayer and contemplation and meditation, and also greater acts of charity. So the three go together. We fast not just for the sake of fasting, it's not a diet. We say no to ourselves so that we can say yes to Christ and to, of course, Christ's people and to life, to love and life more so. And in the Eastern churches, the traditional way to prepare for any great feast is to do just that. It's a period of repentance, of fasting, of abstaining. And you know, this is a very difficult one for Byzantine Catholics or other Eastern Christians that observe it, Katie, you know, because our culture plunges us, immerses us in the complete opposite. We've long since begun a period of indulgence, you know, of partying, one Christmas party after the other. And it's sort of a piling on. It's like a constant celebration.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to Christmas, you're almost partied out.
And you know, Father Tom, I don't know, on the same note, but kind of in the opposite way, I would say it's even really difficult for students because we're kind of, I mean, right before Christmas is a really stressful time for a lot of students. The minute we come back from Thanksgiving break, we're kind of hit with, test after test. Usually teachers have a lot of tests and papers due right after Thanksgiving break. And then a couple of weeks after that, we have final exams. So it's really a struggle for students to, at least for me anyway, to kind of stay in that prayerful and, penitential spirit when I'm trying to think of 10,000 other things. But I think it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, what are your priorities? What's the most important thing you can, you know, that you can have in your life? I mean, yeah, schoolwork is important and getting that done is important too. But if you don't have your faith life sorted out, then nothing else will be right in your life either. And I think that I've really found that out more than anything else this year, is to make sure to take time for my faith, because you know if you take care of that, then God will provide the rest for you. And that really hit me definitely last night. I have this big in-depth journalism story due in a couple of days, and I was worrying about sources, and I have three other exams this week, and I was just worrying about every other thing. And then on a certain night of the week, all the resident advisors get together for Mass. And I was really worried that I wouldn't have time to go to this because I had all these other external things pressing down on me. But I said, you know what, I'm going to go to Mass anyway because I think it's important. And, you know, I went to Mass and I, you know, just had a really good experience with, you know, feeling like a certain weight was kind of lifted off of me. And I was kind of reassured thinking, you know, I can do that. And I really think, you know, it really helped me sort things out, especially for this coming week. But just in my attitude in general, you know, if you put trust in God, you know, He will do a lot of great things for you. And I really think that as long as you trust in God, then He will never present you with something that He doesn't think that you can handle with His help.
Well, those are great encouraging words, Katie, for the listeners and for myself, too, for all of us, as we enter into now this preparation season for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, the great incarnation, the great condescension, the great self-emptying, as we like to say about Christmas in the Eastern churches. Well, so good to hear from you, Katie.
Oh, it was great to be on, Father Tom.
And God's blessings upon you as you struggle through the challenges of tests and exams and of just trying to be a faithful Eastern Catholic there in the university campus.
All right, Father Tom, thank you.
God bless.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Light of the East will return in a moment. You are listening to Light of the East Radio, produced and supported by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois. We are telling the exciting story of the Eastern Catholic Churches and how they have profoundly nourished the Roman Catholic Church and today's world through their histories, traditions, mysteries, spirituality, music, iconography, and liturgy. And with your support, we will continue to bring you these programs each week. The Daughters of St. Paul sponsor a monthly study group on the theology of the body. The discussions are led by Father Thomas Loya and take place every second Wednesday of the month at Pauline Books and Media, 172 North Michigan Avenue in Chicago from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The presentation is also streamed live online. For more information, call 312-346-4228. Theosis, the CD, is now available. The Annunciation Parish Choir, under the direction of Timothy Woods, sings the music you hear in this program, and more importantly, heard during the Divine Liturgy at Byzantine Catholic churches everywhere. If this music inspires you, helps you in your theosis, your ongoing transformation into the image and likeness of God, why not ask us to send the music to you? All we ask is a donation to Annunciation Parish of $10 or more for each CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish and send it to Annunciation Parish, 14610 Will Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. Thank you, and may God grant you many years.
Peace in our homes, in our relationships, and especially in today's world, can only come about through prayer. The members and friends of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, invite you to join them every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Divine Liturgy and other services offered for the intention of world peace. For information, visit www.byzantinecatholic.com or call area code 708-645-0241. That's 708-645-0241. 0241. Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish is located on Willcook Road, 1.5 miles north of Route 7 and 1/4 mile south of 143rd Street in Homer Glen, Illinois. Divine Liturgy each Sunday morning at Annunciation Parish begins at 10 o'clock. Any Catholic in good standing with the Catholic Church may receive communion at this Sunday Divine Liturgy.
As an internationally known speaker on the theology of the body, Father Thomas J. Loya is called to speak on the topic all over the country and around the world, as far away as Ireland and recently in Austria. If you would like to engage Father Loya as a speaker, we invite you to contact him through the Tabor Life Institute. Inquiries are welcome via email, taborlife@earthlink.net. Or you may call Tabor Life at 708-645-0762. 708-645-0762.
Each program on Light of the East is archived on our website. Learn about the 10 gifts of the Eastern Catholic Churches by visiting www.ByzantineCatholic.com and clicking onto the radio page. If you have any questions or comments about the Eastern Churches, the theology of the body, or any topic discussed on these programs, we invite you to correspond with us through our website, www.ByzantineCatholic.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Light of the East. And we're entering into that fasting period, as we mentioned earlier, called the Philip's Fast, which is the Advent or the penitential season leading up to Christmas, which is in many Eastern Christian calendars, both Orthodox
and Catholic.
And now
back to Light of the East.
But during this time is what so often happens in the calendars of the Eastern churches. The special times of fasting or preparation are often punctuated by certain highlights, certain feast days, especially of saints. Now, we just had one the other day, recently. It was the feast day of St. Michael the Archangel and all the angels. You know, when I was in the seminary, I was kind of taken aback by a priest that gave a sermon one day to us seminarians, and he was on the faculty. And he said it to us seminarians, he said it was a feast day, it was actually in the Roman calendar, a feast day of angels. And he said, you know, I don't exactly know what to say or how to preach when it comes to the feast day of angels. You see, at that time, I was in the seminary during the late 70s and early 80s, but even before that time, what started to happen in seminaries and in the church, and especially in the academic levels of the church, was they began to kind of look at this whole idea of angels as something kind of, well, more piety than it was anything real. But the reason why I was kind of taken aback when this well-meaning priest, he was a good priest, a good man, but on this issue, he was basically a product of his time. The reason why I was taken back is because as an Eastern Catholic, I grew up with a very strong sense, because of our liturgy and our iconography, of the reality, the presence of angels. Angels are mentioned constantly in our liturgy. And in fact, angels for us are the connecting links, as it were, of the heavenly liturgy and the earthly liturgy. If you were to step into my church, which is in Homer Glen, Illinois, and you can see this on our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, you will look at the ceiling and you'll see this great icon of the Christ Pantocrator, the all-powerful ruler. And he's surrounded by angels. That whole ceiling is one huge icon, one central theme, and that is, it's a depiction of the heavenly liturgy, the ongoing heavenly liturgy in heaven, as described in the book of Revelations. So you see Jesus Christ, God, the Pantocrator, the all-powerful ruler, surrounded by the angels in heaven, just as it is described in the Bible. Now, that is actually a mirror of what goes on down below on the floor of the church or in the church itself. And what goes on the floor of the church mirrors what's in the ceiling. They both kind of mirror each other, meaning that our liturgy is our entrance into that heavenly liturgy. And that's why we say, let us to mystically represent the cherubim
Let us who mystically remember the cherubim and sing a thrice holy hymn to life, Korean Trinity, now set aside all earthly cares. In other words, we actually take our place alongside the angels in heaven during the divine liturgy, which is our Eucharistic celebration. This is very real. This is a theological reality, a mystical reality. And what connects heaven with earth are the angels. And we do believe, we honestly believe that angels are real and they surround us during liturgy. We sort of rub shoulders with them. We sort of take up our place at the table, as it were, like one big happy family. And this is due largely to the service of angels. We have angels on the ceiling. We have angels that surround the altar. We have angels on the walls of the church. We have angels in the gospel book. We have angels on the doors of the icons. We have angels, 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 seraphim, and six-winged seraphim, many-eyed cherubim, soaring aloft on their wings, shouting, "Holy, holy, holy." So we do a lot with angels. Angels are very real to us in the Eastern Church. This is not piety. They are reality in the Scriptures. They are a mystical reality in our liturgy, in the writings of the Church Fathers. And, of course, one of the chief among them is Michael the Archangel. St. Michael is not only very real to us as a great protector, as the one who threw Lucifer out of heaven and does battle with the devil to this day, but Michael is a very popular name for many of our churches in the Eastern Church. That's how real St. Michael is. So St. Michael and all the angels is a wonderful feast day for us in the Byzantine Church, and it comes on November 8th, which happened to be this year on Saturday, which of course was yesterday. Now also during this week, we feature, as we move into the fasting period, we feature a couple of saints. One of those is Saint Josaphat. Now that's on November 12th. He was an archbishop, a Ukrainian, what we now be known as the Ukrainian archbishop, a Byzantine Catholic Ukrainian archbishop of the 16th century. So he's a kind of a recent saint as church history goes. Now he's a saint for us, for the Eastern Catholic churches, but he would not be recognized as a saint by the Eastern Orthodox churches. And the reason is because he was actually persecuted by the Orthodox. See, at that time, there was still a great tension because there was the reunifications, the partial reunifications of some of the Eastern Orthodox churches with the Roman Catholic Church. One of those reunifications came at that time in Uzhhorod, which is where my church came from, the Union of Uzhhorod. It was in 1646 AD. There was also the Union of Brest, Litovsk, which was in 1596 AD. So during this time, we were having these partial reunions of the Eastern Orthodox churches with the Pope of Rome. And that, of course, became a point of great contention. So there was great tension. Well, Josaphat was actually killed by Orthodox zealots because he was a symbol of reunion, or they would consider it to have been a symbol of selling out, of betrayal. Now, why did you go back to the evil Roman Empire, you know, the whore of Babylon, the Pope? That's how the Orthodox at that time would have seen Josaphat. And so what they did was they actually decapitated him, and they threw his body into the river in Ukraine. Well, his head emerged, and his body. And to this day, his body lays in St. Peter's Basilica in an own little chapel dedicated to him. His body is actually there. You can actually see it. It's under the altar at his little shrine area in St. Peter's Basilica. And his body is clothed in the clothes of a Byzantine Catholic Ukrainian bishop. Well, Josaphat was a symbol for the Eastern Catholics and for the Roman Catholics of unity. And obviously, we wish he was also for the Eastern Orthodox, but at the time, they were very much against unity. So he is not one of their saints, but he is a saint for us. There are a couple of saints like this. For instance, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, they canonized Father Alexis Toth. Now, he lived, in fact, he came to America. He was a priest in America, a Byzantine Catholic priest in America. He lived in the last century. He was responsible for a great split between Eastern Catholics and the Roman Catholic Church in America, and he formed what was then a big part of what is today the Orthodox churches in America. His name is Father Alexis Toth. So he split with Rome, went back into, as we say, schism, with Rome. And this, of course, was praised, seen as something good by the Orthodox churches. They thought that he was standing up for what was right. And so they have canonized him as a saint, a modern-day saint, modern-day American Orthodox saint. Now, the Eastern Catholics, such as my church, will look at this and say, well, okay, it's kind of a bone of contention. It is sort of curious to us in one sense. But at the same time, okay, we respect the Orthodox Church. If they declare someone a saint, I guess they are declared a saint. Even though we would have a little bit of a problem with it because it was all around this great controversy, this sort of second schism, as it were. So there are a number of figures like that that unfortunately are considered saints in one area of the church, but not in the other. And this is just one of the many examples of the areas that we need to look into for reunification. And our program here, Light of the East, hopefully can contribute towards that long, arduous process of reunification between the Eastern Orthodox churches and the Roman Catholic churches. And we do so by first and foremost understanding, sharing, and respecting each other's riches. Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To find out more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, www.byzantinecatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. If you want this program to continue with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Will Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Will Cook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many blessed and happy years.